Welcome to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, a view of culture, current events, and politics through a biblical lens, with your hosts, Neil Boron, Bob Duco, Roger Marsh, and John Rush. Now let's join the conversation.
And we're very happy to be back with you folks for another week of the National Crawford Roundtable, as we do every week with myself, Bob Duco, John Rush, Roger Marsh, Neil Boron. This week, we're going to be talking about the claims that we've been hearing about this drug, this cocktail drug through Regeneron that President Trump took, that the president described as a, quote, cure for his coronavirus. Wait a minute here. This is derived from aborted babies, okay? An abortion had to happen. I thought President Trump and conservatives and Christians were against fetal stem cell research, and that was actually used to help the president beat coronavirus. That's what we're hearing in the press, folks. What is the actual truth? We are going to dive into that in this episode and talk about a lot of things, not just that, but specifically the debate over embryonic stem cell research in general. How do we view an issue like this? So there's a lot of stuff to get to, including a general discussion on abortion itself and the stark difference between President Trump and Joe Biden as it relates to the issue of abortion. Anyway, gentlemen, good to have you. How's everybody doing this week?
Oh, Bob.
Doing good, Bob.
How are you?
Well,
doing very well. Doing very well. Okay, so let's deal with the claim that we're hearing. The New York Times ran a piece last week with this headline, quote, "The treatment that Trump touted as a cure for COVID-19 was developed using cells derived from fetal tissue." And then we've seen this more and more that, oh, Donald Trump and Trump supporters, what hypocrites, because now suddenly when it helps President Trump, they don't mind embryonic stem cell research. They don't mind using cells from aborted babies and such. All right, folks, this is not true. Let me tell you, and I'm going to try to simplify this as best I can for everybody, and then we're going to throw it around the table. But here's what it appears to be. First of all, the CEO of Regeneron, who produced this cocktail, if you will, he declares specifically, no, we did not use aborted baby fetus stem cells for this. There is no fetal tissue or fetal stem cells as part of this at all. Now, it is true, and here's where it gets maybe a little bit murky. It is true that the original process and techniques that were used to ultimately produce this this cocktail, this does go back to some cells taken from a kidney of an aborted baby back in the 1970s. So those cells back then were used to create basically some stem cell research back then. However, that stem cell line has now been duplicated and altered so much that there is now no original fetal stem cell material, if you will, as part of what the research is now. So it's changed, it's evolved, it's moved beyond that, and now they're using what they're calling humanized mouse cells and things like that. So in essence, there's none of the original material from the baby that's there, but there are some pro-life purists who are saying, yeah, but even if that was the spark that was originally used to generate these kinds of techniques, we have a problem with that. A lot of other pro-lifers are saying it's not that big of a deal. It shouldn't be viewed that way, because the bottom line, we no longer have any of those original fetal cells and any of that material, so therefore we shouldn't be worried about it. That's what most pro-life groups are saying now, that it's beyond that. We don't have the original material, so let's not major in the minors here. This did not involve aborted babies in the here and now. So that's pretty much what we're hearing. Let's run it around the table, guys.
No, and along those lines, Bob, you had, and I think, you know, we kind of all discussed this even off air a little bit last week. I think Roger found this article, USA Today, which was a big fact check on this. And it's interesting that even to my knowledge, Gannett Broadcasting, USA Today is not a conservative publication by any stretch of the imagination. And even they came out and fact checked. Headline reads, Trump's antibody therapy not made from fetal stem cells, but fetal-derived cells used during testing, just like you said, Bob. So that's really the facts on it. And it's interesting that a left-leaning organization even fact-checked another left-leaning organization.
Right. So what are you guys thinking about this? I mean, Neil, first of all, throw it to you, Neil Boron. This is something that many in the media and many on the left are trying to use to play the hypocrisy card here. It seems like that's dishonest. But how much of a purist, Neil, do we need to be about this? If the current cocktail was not derived from fetal stem cells, but merely the process itself originated with that, but now it's gone beyond that, and there's none of the original material left, does that make it clean enough? Most pro-life groups say yes, but how should we look at this?
I don't know, but I do know that there's an Amish guy that lives a few miles from where I live, and you know, he doesn't drive motor vehicles, but he owns motor vehicles, and he has other people drive them for him. So, I mean, there's a point at which things get a little crazy. You know, he'll operate a power saw with a conveyor belt situation because the original motor isn't directly attached to the power saw. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, and I don't believe for a minute that human material was used in this. But what the bigger issue for me, and it's the reason it caught my attention, first of all, it was sent to me by someone who occasionally listens to my show and who's liberal, left-leaning, progressive, you know, it was an aha smoking gun kind of thing, like, here, look at this. It was an article originally from CBS News. I know the New York Times ran a similar article, and I don't know if they ran a retraction. But it was the implication that Donald Trump aborted a baby so that he could live, you know, basically was what was conveyed in that original article. And it simply isn't true. It's not even close to being true. So I think it was just, to me, another example of the kind of liberal media bias that exists and the kind of stuff that people get away with saying when nobody holds their feet to the fire. And interestingly, yeah, then it was the USA Today that ran the fact check thing saying, look, guys, it's not true. So there have been other organizations that have debunked it as well. But it's just the idea that that kind of stuff is allowed to, you know, be propagated in the media is just disgusting to me.
It is. And by the way, MIT, okay, which again is no conservative Christian place, Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Not even
MIT's
close.
Journal. Here's what they say about this. They say the molecules in the treatment that Trump received are manufactured in cells from a hamster's ovary, not in human cells. The cells originally derived from a fetus were used in another way. According to Regeneron, laboratory tests used to assess the potency of its antibodies employed a standardized supply of cells whose origin was kidney tissue from an abortion in the Netherlands in the 1970s, but these cells have been what are called immortalized now, and they say that they now, at this point, are different cells. They are not the same cells. So this was used back when. Okay, fine. But the stuff that was used to benefit President Trump now, Roger Marsh, is not, it is no longer fetal cells. So I don't see why we should be that concerned about this.
Yeah, it really can't be. When you look at the way that they mutate these things in laboratories, I mean, the fact that something might have started somewhere with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I think medical technology has advanced a little bit since 1972, and there's a good possibility that what they were starting out with and then all the different, you know, the Y brackets and everything, that kind of keeps mutating and mutating. It's ridiculous to try to connect these two. And yet, this is, as Neil pointed, this is the big gotcha game right now. This is where the media will go, and unfortunately, it shows where our culture is, too. That CBS, New York Times, and all the left-leaning groups could say, hey, we need to tie Trump to something that contradicts what his position is on abortion, because we don't want him to put Amy Coney Barrett on the bench and overturn Roe versus Wade, because our whole world will fall apart. Aha, we've got him now. And anybody with the internet and a little bit of time to do some research is going to jump on this and say, wait, I mean, guys, when we were having our conversation about this last week, it took us about 10 minutes to come up with enough credible information to say, this is ridiculous and debunked. And look who's doing the debunking. I mean, the To John's point, Gannett is running, you know, fact checks, and this is a very detailed article, and it's one of many that I think we've all found collectively. Christian Post is running them.
Right.
I mean, really trying to get to the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is, I mean, statistically, embryonic stem cells don't solve anything. They never have. They have to be used in conjunction with other things, and by the time they get eventually to the point where they would be teamed up with, say, adult stem cells to cure things, it's the adult stem cells that bring things together. So I do know, though, that unfortunately, the big pharma industries do use this type of material in vaccinations and things like that. That is a very real situation that is happening. But the idea that they could try to put two and two together and have it equal $750 billion is just such a huge stretch. It's really ridiculous, and I'm glad we're having a conversation about it today.
Yeah, I am too. I'll tell you what, let's take a short break. We'll pick it up from there in a couple of minutes. More of the National Crawford Roundtable coming up next.
Be transformed by the Word of God with Alistair Begg and Truth for Life. Every weekday, Alistair Begg teaches the Bible through in-depth verse-by-verse attention to the Word of God. You can listen to Truth for Life on your local Crawford Broadcasting Station or listen online at truthforlife.org. Please support this important ministry with your donations at the truthforlife.org website or by calling 888-588-7884, and be sure to let them know you heard about Truth for Life from the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Continuing this National Crawford Roundtable with myself, Bob Duco out of Detroit, with John Rush of Rush to Reason out of Denver, Colorado, Neil Boron of Neil Boron Live out of Buffalo, New York, and Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line from the People's Republic of California, Gavin Newsom country. And we're talking, of course, about the issue of embryonic stem cell research and the claims from the press that Donald Trump and his supporters are such hypocrites because they had no problem with aborted fetus cells being used for his cocktail that helped him recover from coronavirus. No, that's not true. You look in the you look at the evidence and you find out that there were no aborted baby or fetal stem cells used whatsoever in this particular cocktail. Even secular liberal sources like MIT and USA Today fact-checking this makes it clear that that's not the case. So, but I have to say, guys, before we get into a little bit more on embryonic stem cell research itself, One of the reasons that the media and the Democrats continue running with this fake news story, it's the very same thing that Joe Biden does, claiming Donald Trump called neo-Nazis very fine people. Donald Trump called coronavirus a hoax. Donald Trump said, swallow Clorox and inject bleach in your arm. You know, these kinds of things. They know this isn't true. Donald Trump called soldiers and veterans suckers and losers. Okay. They know this isn't true. But they don't have to convince 160 million voters that that's true. All they have to do is convince maybe a million or so, and that could be enough to sway the election. I want to remind everybody, Donald Trump, when he won, he took three states nobody expected him to take: Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Pennsylvania, Michigan. Pennsylvania's got 20 electoral college votes. Michigan's got 16. Wisconsin's got 10. So those three states made the difference. Do you know Donald Trump only won those three states by a combined total of 80,000 votes? 80,000, and that's it. And so Joe Biden and the Democrats know we don't have to convince tens of millions of people. We really only have to convince tens of thousands of people. And that's one of the reasons why I think they run these lies, knowing full well that it only takes a few thousand people here and a few thousand people there in some key swing states to believe these horrible things about Donald Trump and the hypocrisy of the fetal stem cells and whatever. And that could be enough to sway the election. So I think it's a very dishonest, sleazy game, which is why podcasts like this and shows like the four of us do are so critical, I think, to get the truth out for voters.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah, well said, Bob. Yeah, I really don't have anything to add to that. But and I think Roger said it earlier, and it's really amazing to me that the average American, I'm baffled by this, can't do what Roger said earlier, where they can't you know, in a very open manner, go to the internet, which is right in front of us, you know, for all, literally, let's face it, there's very few people in the country that can't go and find something on the internet, even if they go to the library to do it. There's access literally now to everyone. And to Roger's point, why somebody can't go and spend 10 or 15 minutes researching any given topic, looking at both sides of the fence, and then making a judgment call off of that, rather than just watching some headline and taking that for what it is, it still baffles me that people cannot go out and do some of this research on their own, and when 10 or 15 minutes have the results.
I know. And their vote counts just as much as yours.
It does. So unfortunately, you
know.
It
it's
does.
It's like, wow. I know. But
your point, Bob, too. I mean, the thing that we're doing on this podcast and what the four of us do on a daily basis is to try to help those other individuals that are either like-minded, or I have a lot of folks on the left that listen to my show that, you know, I battle back and forth on a regular basis. And and frankly, guys, in some cases, you know, you actually can win them over if you would. I mean, if you give them enough factual data that really stress, you know, our side and what's going on and all the real data. I had a long conversation via text message with a liberal listener yesterday just about COVID and the deaths and the numbers that are being reported and the money that's behind it. And the fact of the matter is, guys, is there's folks out there that don't understand anything about what I just said, because all they do is listen to the liberal news media and the headlines that are there.
Right, yeah. Right. And they don't want facts and evidence to get in the way of their feelings and emotions.
Correct.
That they've already formed their opinions based on. I know, it's very, very frustrating. Let's talk about the larger issue of embryonic stem cell research in general, and why this is wrong. Now, unfortunately, this is another thing, guys, where there's a lot of misinformation out there. We've been convinced that embryonic stem cell research is the only way to really cure diseases and find cures for things like, different diseases people have, or for that matter, paralysis and such. But the truth is, you know, there's not one cure right now in existence that's been derived from embryonic stem cells.
Nope.
But
well said.
There are close to 100 different cures that have been derived from adult stem cells, amniotic fluid stem cells, umbilical cord stem cells, the various animal kind of, you know, the quote-unquote humanized mice stem cells. There are between 75 and 100 cures that have now been discovered from those. The argument, and just to be fair here, the argument from the pro-stem cell research side is that the embryonic stem cells are what's called pluripotent. In other words, they can morph into anything you want them to, whereas the other stem cells are kind of locked into the type of cell that they are. But the problem is, with the pluripotency of the embryonic stem cells, you've got a double-edged sword. Yes, they can convert into anything, but they also go cancerous. You can't stop the duplication process, which means they end up being dangerous and giving people cancer. That's the reason they haven't been able to do anything successfully with embryonic stem cells. So that not only the smarter and safer route for health purposes is to use the more targeted non-embryonic stem cells, but those are also the ones, guys, that are effective. They're the ones that have actually produced results and produced treatments. Why in the world would we not stick with what is ethically sound and it happens to work? To me, it's the best of all worlds.
Well, and what they're finding too, and along those lines, Bob, and I've interviewed multiple doctors along these lines, and you know, over the years, I've even had folks that have been involved in the, you know, in the medical world, where they'll even tell you that your own stem cells, as long as you know you're a healthy adult, and let's say you need something, you know, regenerative done, knee, back, things like that, your own stem cells are actually the best thing to be used in your own body to do a lot of the treatments that are out there. So that's the one thing also that they've learned, is that typically you're carrying what you already need. You just need the right process to make what you have work better in your body.
Right. Right. And actually, John, that's a really good point that you make, because this is something, if people can get this information, then they realize we don't even have to have the ethical debate about embryonic stem cell. Why in the world would we go to something that's unethical when that unethical option, even if you don't think it's unethical, you're pro-choice or whatever, okay, fine. Why would you even open up that can of worms when it's not as effective. We're not able to, and it's potentially dangerous because they can't control the duplication process. And John, I know we got to take a break here, but it seems like that's a message we need to get out to people because a lot of people are ill-informed about stem cell research.
And let's do that. We'll just take a quick break. You're listening to the National Crawford Roundtable.
Learn how to walk the narrow path with Steve Gregg. With over 40 years of studying the Bible, Steve Gregg is passionate about teaching you how to apply scriptural wisdom to every aspect of your life. Listen to The Narrow Path on your local Crawford Broadcasting Station or online at thenarrowpath.com. The Narrow Path is 100% listener-supported. Please keep this vital ministry going with your generous financial support and let them know you heard about The Narrow Path on the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
And we're back, National Crawford Roundtable, myself, Neil Boron, Roger Marsh, Bob Duco. And yeah, Bob, to your point, and again, I go back to what, you know, the four of us do in Crawford Broadcasting in general. That's what we do on a daily basis, is try to get this information that we're even talking about now out into the public, or, you know, at least to our listeners that can then spread it to the public and so on. And there's so much information. And guys, I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm a car guy. I'm a technician at heart. You know, I get some of these things technically speaking, but I am by no means anybody that's an expert in the medical community. But I've interviewed enough people in that realm, and have had enough people, you know, on my show, you know, medical doctors and you know, even folks that are maybe outside of the medical world a little bit, in that they really look at the whole body aspect and how you treat the whole body, not just an individual part of the body. And again, over and over again, you hear that what we carry inside of our own body is typically the best way to fix our own body. I realize there's some exceptions to that, but in general, our own stem cells are the best way to treat ourselves.
Yes, they certainly are. Well, do you guys remember during the, I think it was the 2012 campaign, when Rick Perry was running for president? He was the governor of Texas, and he had to have back surgery. And they actually took some stem cells from his, you know, spinal area and some.
That's,
you know,
right.
Did a little liposuction too, from what I understand. They cut his recovery time in half because they basically just shot his spine full of his own stem cells. I mean, to Bob's point about the 75 to 100 different curers, it's statistically proven. Johns Hopkins has done a lot of research on this, from what I understand, about what happens when you use embryonic stem cells and what happens when you use adult stem cells. And the reality is, if you combine the two, you'll find some kind of cure. If you take the embryonic out, you still have a cure. If you only use the embryonic, nothing gets cured. So, I mean, right. I'm not a scientist. I mean, for crying out loud, my dad was a music teacher. But when I look at what they're doing here scientifically here with all this, is even I can figure this out. I mean, the reality is hundreds of billions of dollars have been thrown down the drain on the embryonic stem cell thing. And here in the People's Republic, we have another bill up in front of us. Back in 2006, there was a proposition that was put forth to start the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. And it was $3 billion of taxpayer money that was going to fund stem cell research, because at the time there was a federal ban on it. I think that stemmed literally from the Bush administration saying that they didn't want to have any funding outside. You know, there's no federal funding for it. So the state said, well, we're going to find all these cures. And so $3 billion later, and here we are 14, 15 years after the fact, they spent all the money. They basically sent it out to all the University of California research labs and everywhere else they could do to run this research. They haven't proven anything. They haven't found anything. And guess what? Now we have Prop 14 on the ballot saying, hey, guess what, guys? We're almost out of money. Now we need $5 billion for these life-saving treatments. Well, now there's no more federal ban, so you don't have to worry about where your funding is coming from. And these guys have proven that they can't solve anything with embryonic stem cells. Now, they talk about how they want to use adult stem cells, but they're not doing it as well as the other research groups are. Now there's the whole follow the money type of thing. I mean, the whole embryonic stem cell thing.
Right.
This kind of goes back to George W. Bush's, remember the weeks leading up to 9/11 were all about federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. So, I mean, we're kind of, history's kind of repeating itself now as we look at this election cycle.
Well, I have to mention the, go ahead, Neil.
I was just going to jump in real quick and just say, by the way, to your comment earlier, Roger, your dad was a music teacher. Well, I got cut from the band in junior high school. So you know, I got nothing to offer in that area. But and I know even less, I think, about, you know, some of these medical issues we're talking about. But common sense doesn't come into play in this. And I just wanted to say anecdotally, I have a friend, lifelong friend, who in 2015 nearly died from multiple myeloma, kind of a blood and, you know, cancer of sorts. and bone marrow kind of cancer. And they removed some of his own stem cells, crashed his immune system, re-injected the cells back into him, and he's alive and well today. They actually saved some in case he ever relapses again. And it's a deadly and fatal disease, but he's alive and well because they were able to use his own stem cells to heal him.
Right. You know, this is such an important point, and I want to make sure people know, too, the liberal left, especially Hollywood celebrities, but Democrats as well, they are really, really good at playing the emotion card and basically welling tears up in their eyes and saying, but don't you care about helping Michael J. Fox overcome Parkinson's? Don't you care about, you know, you didn't care about trying to help Christopher Reeve walk again. You don't care about people that need cures for diseases. It's like, yes, we do, okay? Your stem cell research doesn't work, all right? It's the adult stem cell research and the other types that actually produces the cures. So knock it off with the dishonest reach for a Kleenex moment, because we're not being cold-hearted to those folks. But Neil, I do want to ask you, though, let's pretend hypothetically that they do manage in laboratories to figure out how to control the duplication process in embryonic stem cell research. And now embryonic stem cells really do end up being able to produce cures. Does that therefore become an argument to justify using them? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see that it does. These are human beings made in the image and likeness of God. And I can't justify destroying human life by reducing humanity made in the image and likeness of God to nothing more than an animal in a Petri dish laboratory test. That to me is wrong. And Neil, I'd love to get your take on that. We're at the bottom of the hour, though, and we're going to take another break. And then I want to get your take on the other side of this. Folks, this is the first half of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast, and we invite you to listen to the second half, because we got a lot more things to get into in this second half, including examining in this election the issue of abortion from Donald Trump's policies and Joe Biden's policies. We got a lot to get to, and you can listen to the second half of this podcast, everybody, online. Okay, you can go to crawford.live, or you can listen at Apple Podcasts. We'd love for you to rate the podcast, give us a nice big 5-star rating, or Stitcher or TuneIn or more. So the second half, National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, coming up next.
This has been a Crawford Broadcasting production.
Continuing the second half of the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast with Neil Boron of Neil Boron Live out of Buffalo, New York, Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line out of the People's Republic of Southern California, all of California, John Rush, Rush to Reason out of Denver, myself, Bob Duco out of Detroit, talking about embryonic stem cell research. We have already debunked the false media claim that Donald Trump somehow used, he was a hypocrite to use a drug from the to help him through COVID that used fetal stem cells and such. And oh, what a hypocrite. No, it turns out he did not. Even USA Today fact checked that claim as false. But we're moving into a larger discussion about embryonic stem cells. Now, we know already that, and Neil, the question I was asking you before, at this point where we stand, embryonic stem cells have not been able to produce a single cure, not one. They go cancerous. You can't stop the duplication process. However, adult stem cells, amniotic fluid stem cells, umbilical cord stem cells, and others, those have produced between 75 and 100 cures. So it's the most effective and it's the most ethical. But what do we do? It's probably a matter of time until some laboratory somewhere comes up with a way to successfully create cures with embryonic stem cells. Then the debate becomes, oh no, these embryonic stem cells really can find a cure now for paralysis or Parkinson's disease or such. Do we really stand in the way of that? I don't see where it's justified, my personal opinion. I don't see where it's justified to reduce humanity made in the image and likeness of God to a Petri dish laboratory test. But, you know, the emotional argument here, Neil, hey, if you can help a paralyzed person walk or save somebody's life from Lou Gehrig's disease, how could we not? How do you respond?
Well, I actually love these kind of arguments, not because I like being on the hot seat right now, per se, but...
yeah, and you have to fix this for everybody, Neil, just so you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, because they cause us to think. They cause us to seek the heart of God on these kind of issues. I would love to think that in 100% of the cases, I could stand with you, Bob, and say I'm totally on your team on this, and that I believe that, you know, we should stand against it if it ever comes to that point. I think I would, and I think I could, but I'm not 100% sure, only because if it was my son or daughter or my grandchild, that would, you know, I don't know. I'm an infallible human being who relies on the grace of God for everything, you know, that I do, because I need the grace of God, because I'm a sinner, and it was His grace that allowed me to know Him in the first place. So, you know, I think of a verse like James 4:17, for him that knows the right thing to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. So if I didn't strongly oppose this, I guess that would be sin, and for that reason I wouldn't want to do it. But then the question is asked, you know, if you were in a position where you could jump in front of someone who was being shot and take the bullet for them, would you do it? And I would say, yeah, I hope so. I think so. And I don't know. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, the Bible says, but a trustworthy man who can find. So I guess I don't want to overstate it. I just want to be honest and say I'm a human being. And ethically and morally and spiritually and for all those reasons, yes, I would oppose it. Could I do it in the end if it involved my own child or grandchild? I hope so, but I don't know for sure, and I'm just keeping it real.
Sure. Well, you know, I think about that. If, you know, if it's, what if it's your own child? What if it's your, and really what it boils down to is, I think we have to look at that unborn baby, we have to look at that fetus, that embryo, and we have to ask ourselves, is this a human being made in the image and likeness of God that God knows, and we know certainly from Scripture, God knows who that person is. He has imparted a soul into that person. Just because they haven't developed fully yet doesn't mean that they're not a full human being in the eyes of God and biblically. So if that's the case, do we diminish the human value of that, quote, fetus, because they're not born yet? You know, I think about, and you're talking about if it's your own child or your own loved one, and, you know, I've grappled with this. You know, you guys know I lost my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter. Turns out she had a bad heart. We didn't know she had a bad heart, okay? If I'd have known she had a bad heart, we'd have put her on the list for a heart transplant. Would I, if I could get away with it, and nobody would know but God, would I shoot somebody in the head so that they die if they're an organ donor, and then I can get that person's heart to put in my daughter's body and save her life? I'd have to say, no, I can't murder someone even to save my own daughter's life. That would be wrong. Well, the person I would shoot in the head, I may be able to relate to that person more than some fetus growing inside of a woman's body, but logically, intellectually, and biblically, they are equal human beings in the eyes of God. And if I can't justify executing someone to take his heart to save my daughter's life, I can't justify executing a human being inside a mother's womb to potentially cause a paralyzed person to walk.
Yeah, let me add a nuance to it, though. You're saying take a gun and shoot someone in the head. Let's say that somebody says, we have material available that came from an aborted fetus. You weren't involved in the abortion. You didn't personally conduct it, but it is available. And, you know, I don't want to draw Jesus into this conversation for any other reason except to say that death came through Adam, sin and death and everything came through Adam, the Bible says, but life came through Christ. And if it's possible to take what the devil was thrilled about, the death of an innocent child, a human being, to bring life to others, would that change the equation? I still think there's a moral and ethical issue to stand on the side of life on this, and I'd like to think that I could do that even if it involved my own grandchild. But I also want to be honest and say, I hope I could, because I'm not 100% sure if pressed that I could go through with it.
What you know,
we're feeding that industry.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the feeding part, Bob. Ironically, I know there was a big flap. One of the blessings of doing this program, I love our conversations, guys. I love our fellowship and how we take something like this, an issue like this, and really dig deeper into it. I mean that sincerely. And one of the things I love and hate about this program, the blessing and the burden, is the fact that we'll raise an issue like this, and we have to do the kind of research that we do. I remember a few years ago, there was a big flap, and you guys probably remember it too, where they were going after food companies who were using tissue from aborted fetuses to actually, you know, use as supplements to their what they do. And apparently what happens, or what has been happening, is that they've been using these as additives for quite some time. And there are a lot of food products that we eat on a regular basis that we don't even know have this type of stuff in here. And so I think to both of your points, you know, the question that Neil is raising is, you know, if you knew, you know, if you had that conversation. Well, there's a lot of things that we're doing right now that we're basically sinning against God and violating what we're talking about here, and we just don't know. And so I think a lot of it has to do with the knowledge factor of it, too. Neil, I'm glad you presented it in such a way saying, look, if someone told you, hey, this woman went had an abortion and she donated, you know, all the boxes are checked off, would you do it? And that makes it a tougher question to answer, I think, for many of us.
I feel like it does. And I don't want to go too far with this whole, you know, what if thing. But I mean, you're right, Roger, there's a lot of stuff going on. For instance, if any of us ever use Heinz ketchup when we're eating a hot dog at a ball game, Heinz is a major funder of Planned Parenthood. Does that make us then a supporter of Planned Parenthood? There are some who argue that it does. And I don't know. I guess we have to ask Lord Holy Spirit, you know, what are you saying to me in this particular situation? But when it comes right down to the deeper question of our own children, our own grandchildren, could we save their life if we knew we had nothing to do with ending the other life? And somebody, like Roger, you said somebody donated this baby to be used. Wow, that's a really tough call. And I think that's, honestly, I think the world wants to hear believers say, we're not sure. I think because we need the grace of God in these moments. How would we know for sure? I would like to think, yeah, I could just stand up, but I'm not sure.
How do you, I mean, it is a very fair question. How do we figure out how purist we have to be in this area? Because if I knew that this was feeding the abortion industry, I couldn't see myself supporting that. It feels like that would be a line to be drawn. But you guys bring up a very good point. I want to bring John Rush into this. What do we do about the fact that, now let me play devil's advocate on the other side of my own argument, for products that we go buy out there. We know that just about anything and everything, unless you're going to live as a hermit in a cave or on a farm and grow your own food, chances are you're buying something from someone who 6 degrees of separation is supporting ungodly industries like Planned Parenthood, the gay and lesbian groups and such. So, but strictly on abortion, Planned Parenthood is getting money either directly or indirectly from half of the companies that we buy products and services from. So do we now become hermits? Where do we draw that line? And if I can put Heinz ketchup on my hot dog, knowing that Heinz is directly paying money to Planned Parenthood, and I can remove myself enough from that, John, can I say then I'm removed from that aborted fetus because I had nothing to do with that, so therefore I'm going to benefit from the cells of that baby?
Well, and unfortunately, guys, that's what the capitalistic society does. Those companies make money. They can choose where they want to spend their money, where they want to donate money. We as consumers can choose if we want to continue to do business with them based upon those. And to me, all of what we're talking about, guys, comes down to, you know, personal convictions. Why I personally am not someone that would ever tell someone, you can't eat that meat because of such and such, or you can't do X because of such and such. This all comes down, in my opinion, to, you know, personal convictions. Some have heavier convictions in areas than others. Some people's convictions grow and change. And, you know, that's life. That's the Christian life, especially. In other words, what somebody has a conviction of today, they may not have had a conviction of 10 years ago. Or the opposite can be true. They may be, you know, growing. They may learn some things. You know, I grew up in a very, as you guys all know, very legalistic, you know, world where, you know, a woman's dress couldn't be 2 inches, you know, it had to be 2 inches below her knee. If it was above that, it was just some sort of a sin for that girl to wear a dress, you know, that was at the knee level. And of course, we see today where that has gone. And so, again, guys, I would never be somebody that would point the finger at another Christian and say, because you buy X, you know, you're a sinner, you're not doing what God wants. You know, this to me is all personal conviction. And fortunately, you know, back to the stem cell side of the fence, fortunately, Bob, we're at a level where what you're talking about hasn't happened. I'm one that wonders, will it ever? And has God just made it in such a way that no matter how much research and how much money they pour into that, those baby stem cells, you know, those aborted fetus stem cells, I hate to call it a fetus, by the way, the aborted baby's stem cells, you know, would they ever get to the point where they could even be used in that way? And I'm one that says, you know, I don't think, guys, it'll ever get to that point. So I don't think it's something I'll ever have to worry about.
Boy, you know what? I hope so. And Roger, I know we got to take a break here, Roger, but where do you think we draw the line on the, you know, how removed can we be from ultimately the abortion industry being fed, whether it's the Heinz ketchup argument or directly using embryonic stem cells? How far removed can we be that we can consider ourselves insulated from that and enjoy that product or service?
Well, why don't we ponder that during this break, and we'll answer this question on the other side of it. You're listening to a very intriguing edition of the National Crawford Roundtable podcast.
Dr. Michael Youssef leads the way for people living in spiritual darkness to discover the light of Jesus Christ. This tremendous outreach begins with the proclamation of God's Word through the uncompromising biblical teaching of Dr. Michael Youssef. Leading the Way is here to equip and strengthen the church to stand strong and to advance the gospel in today's ever-changing world. Listen to Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef at ltw.org/listen and be sure to mention you heard about their program on the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Welcome back to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, along with Bob Duco, Neil Boron, John Rush. I'm Roger Marsh, and we are having a very lively discussion, a very spirited one, about embryonic stem cell research, how it has been used in the presidential campaign. Of course, we started this conversation half hour or so ago discussing the controversy over the treatment that the president received when he was hospitalized with COVID-19, and now we find ourselves, you know, looking at the ethical dilemma, especially as we're getting ready for another kind of pseudo-debate coming up this week with the president on NBC and with his challenger on ABC, I believe, kind of having conflicting and competing town hall forums. And you know this is going to be one of the issues where the president's going to be passionately pro-life and the former vice president's going to be passionately pro-abortion. To the question of, you know, how far can we remove ourselves from this, or how do we stay out of the fray? You know, we live in a sinful, fallen world, and we are, you know, citizens of heaven and residents of earth. So we have to wander and navigate through this, you know, as the situations come up. To John's point, I think right now it's not as much of an issue, because if you just look at the science of the capitalistic side of it, the embryonic stem cells don't work. So I mean the people will try to use them, but it's a pretty easy pass to say, you know, we're not going to have to face the dilemma that Neil brought up. Now, with regard to Heinz, Neil, I got to take you to task on this one, because you're not allowed to put ketchup on hot dogs. You're just not.
Yeah, thank you. That's the best answer. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. So I mean, that's not a problem for me.
Are you allowed to put it in a bun?
Yeah, well, buns are okay, you know. And
buns,
you can do
okay, just no ketchup.
There's no ketchup in hot dogs. There's no ketchup in hot dogs.
That's the old Clint Eastwood. That's the old Dirty Harry movie, guys.
I mean, hot dog. You know, all right, ketchup goes on hot dogs. That's, you know, yeah, that's like saying you can't put a la mode with apple pie. Okay, you just can't do. Well,
that's a whole separate podcast. You know what foods are acceptable, but I think to that point, though, I mean, if you start pulling that thread, pretty soon, you're right. To Bob's point, we're all kind of sitting in our studios, and even then, we can't use the stuff that we've got here, because it's going to be attached to something or someone. At some point, you have to trust God that He's leading you in certain ways and on areas of discovery, and that's part of the residue of living in a sinful, fallen world, is we are going to have to make choices like this. I think the question there was motives, and Neil, I'm glad you brought it up. You know, what do you do when you have the knowledge and you can make a decision like that?
Let me just add, too, it's not just the sins of, and I'm saying this like in light of the argument, it's not just the sins of commission, it's the sins of omission, because then we would have to ask the question, well, I drive past the clinic every day where I see other people standing out holding signs that says abortion kills children or that Jesus saves and heals, but I've never joined them. I have joined them there, but I'm saying some people have never joined them there, and or maybe there's organizations I could have supported, but I didn't. So it's really not just what you did do, but what you didn't do, and I think we could drive ourselves nuts, because to try to be 100% purist on this, my point is we have to cut ourselves a break and say we can do what the Lord, in my opinion, we should do what the Lord shows us to do, and do it with conviction and stand for truth and righteousness, but do it with grace, because there are others who don't see things the way that we do yet or ever, but God's grace is sufficient in every situation. So I'm not letting us off the hook. I think we need to be ardently pro-life and stand with conviction, but I guarantee one of us has software on our computer that's, you know, manufactured by a company that supports Planned Parenthood. So, and I'm talking about everybody listening to this podcast right now,
right,
as well.
Right.
So we're all guilty.
Right. Which becomes that argument that we can't sit there and have a pharisaical, judgmental attitude toward people and point the finger at them and say, oh, look at you, what a sinner. But then we don't want to go to the other extreme either, which is say, okay, well then fine, I'm going to stay in willful ignorance and I'm just going to say everything is acceptable.
Right.
Well, I mean, everything is not.
And that's why I said earlier, you know, Bob, it really does come down to, you know, personal conviction. If all of a sudden you're reading something one day and you know you're a big supporter of X company and all of a sudden that company turns out to be one of the largest donors to Planned Parenthood, well, then you'd have to really take a hard look at, you know, is that something that I want to do? And by the way, I think a lot of folks do those things. I don't think we give folks enough credit because I do think there's a lot of Christians that look at those things and do their best to, you know, put their investments and do the things that they do and buy the products, you know, on a daily basis that they feel, you know, that they're the most aware of. Now, I'm also not going to tell you that you need to spend every waking moment of every day researching all these things to find out where all of their money goes. But if you hear something and you know there's a particular situation, and I'm not a big boycott guy either, guys. I don't believe in boycotts. I don't think in most cases they work. And in fact, some cases I think they can have the opposite effects. So I'm not a big boycott guy. But if you personally don't want your money going someplace that you feel that money is then going to go support something you don't believe in, well, then go buy something else.
You know, I think about Jesus, you know, saying, of course, render unto Caesar what is Caesar. He paid taxes, knowing full well that those taxes were being used for ungodly purposes. But, you know, he fulfilled his responsibility there. But I also think his job as a carpenter, I wonder how many things did he build for customers that those customers ended up maybe using it for ungodly purposes. He made wine at the wedding of Cana, knowing full well that people were getting drunk on that wine, but he still produced the wine. So it does beg the question, do we sometimes hyper-analyze all of our connections to everything? Because when we live in a fallen world, as I mentioned early on, unless you're going to be hardcore Amish or live in a cave, I don't know how you cannot be connected at least indirectly, if not directly.
Right.
Let me
give you another example, though, Bob, and this is how I would look at it. So in my other business world outside of the stations, we do, you know, property maintenance. So we do, you know, snow removal and landscaping and all this different kind of stuff, parking lot maintenance and so on. Well, everybody knows that there's an abortion clinic in Boulder, which is where I'm from and where my businesses are. There's an abortion clinic in Boulder with a fellow by the name of Dr. Hearn that will, one of the few doctors in the state, in the country actually, that will perform very, very late term abortions. I mean, that baby, if it came out of the womb and you gave it any kind of care, it lives. I mean, that's how late the abortions this particular doc, this guy's a monster. I'll say for what he is. He is the absolute definition of a monster. The guy is Satan incarnate. I believe that sincerely. I had the opportunity numerous years ago, so I've got two examples. Numerous years ago, I had the opportunity where he wanted us to bid on doing a bunch of work around his offices. And I frankly declined to even give the bid and do any of that work, mainly because I know what that guy does. So me as a business owner at that point said, I'm not going to facilitate and even help any way, shape, or form. Even though I could have profited off of that, I'm not going in that direction. It's a personal view that I had. I had another situation where there's a local strip club in the Boulder area, and it's now not there any longer, but at one time it was. And when I took over the business that I own, we were actually servicing that particular property. And I will be honest with you, we serviced it for a couple of years until the point came where I'm like, you know, is that really something that I really need to be involved in as a business? I really don't need the money. You know, that's not something that I really need to be participating in. They can find some other provider to help them do the things that they do. And so I kindly one year said, you know what, we're no longer going to service your property. You're going to have to find somebody else to, you know, to take that over. So again, for me, those are the personal decisions that, you know, that I made, and I think all of us make on a regular basis. But am I going to go as far as say I'm not buying Heinz ketchup because some of that money might actually go to support, you know, a teeny, teeny piece of that ketchup I just bought? You know, the money there might go to support, you know, Planned Parenthood. And on the same token, there's a lot of folks along that chain, even folks working for Heinz that are probably great Christian individuals. They probably work at the store that I actually bought it from. I can go down the line, guys. And that frankly, doesn't bother me.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. Next thing you're going to say is you can't put ketchup on eggs. Neil.
No, you I can't.
Neil, I know we got
to. Tabasco, yes. Ketchup, no.
No.
I know we got to take one more quick break here. But Neil, I'd love to get your take on where we do draw that line? I mean, because would there have been anything wrong with John saying, we are going to continue to provide services for this strip club because we are a business, we offer these services, and if anything else, maybe we have witnessing opportunities here or there, you know, to look at or something. But, I mean, how do you know that too close is too close, too connected is too connected to be directly involved in an ungodly business?
Right. Well, and let's take our breakout comment on that when we come back. You're listening to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast.
Dr. James Dobson left a successful career in academia to preserve and promote the biblical family in America. The radio broadcasting ministry of Dr. Dobson spans over four decades, earning him 17 honorary doctorate degrees and an induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Today, Dr. Dobson continues to champion marriage and parenthood through Family Talk. Listen every weekday at drjamesdobson.org. And be sure to reference the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast when asked how you listen to Family Talk.
This is the National Crawford Roundtable. My name is Neil Boron. We got Bob Duca with us, John Rush, and Roger Marsh. And been a very interesting conversation today, just because it forces us to ask questions of ourselves. And I'm talking about all of you who are listening along with our conversation. I'm here to proclaim I don't have answers to all these questions, but I do appreciate, Bob, your raising them and the opportunity that we have to kind of investigate this. You know, Paul said, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And I think what he was getting at was that we're invited into a relationship with Christ. And it isn't just that God has handed us words on tablets of stone and said, here's the rule book, follow it. Jesus didn't abide, but he fulfilled it, and he came to give us life and life more abundant. What he came to give us was a personal relationship with himself. And I don't want to wax overly spiritual on this, but what I'm getting at is I do believe God will show us at whatever time is necessary what we should and should not be doing in any given circumstance. And it's why we need to press into him, because I don't think there's some outside source or some website that's going to give us all of the proper do's and don'ts in on every situation and every scenario. I mean, Roger mentioned earlier, for instance, if these fetal stem cells, if there was, and which is not what Donald Trump used, by the way, but, you know, we talked about that earlier in the podcast. But if some were made available to cure something in one of our own children, would we do it? And the question was, well, would we have to kill a baby to make it happen? Or somebody who had previously killed a baby donated the body parts in some fashion? Well, that changes the equation again. So my point is, I just think there is no right or wrong answer. But God knows in any given circumstance what the right or wrong answer is, and he doesn't want to hide it from us. He's a loving Heavenly Father who, in his proper time, in his proper way, through the Word of God or through some other circumstance, will give John Rush an understanding as to what he ought to do in any situation. And John, I don't fault you for the decision you made. I applaud you, actually. But I think that people living in the same town who act as first responders, if they found out that a stripper in the club was having a heart attack or some kind of a medical emergency, would be compelled by the love of Christ to go in there and help her. Yes, so again, you know, so thank God that we have the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot of unanswered questions that we need to seek answers from him on. That's, I guess, all I have to say about that.
No, that's a great point. You know, we're just about out of time here. Roger, I'd love to get your take as well on how we draw that line between how far removed from directly involved in something ungodly do we have to be? It does seem like it's not really completely cut and dry, and that we do need to depend on wisdom from the Holy Spirit.
Well, absolutely. By definition, everything that we do is going to interact with the ungodly, because we're sinful, fallen people who've been redeemed of our sin. Right. And we live in a sinful, fallen world. So, I mean, it's going to get on you anywhere you go. I was kind of chuckling as John was telling his strip club story, because I was remembering early in my Christian music days, we had a local businessman who had tried just about everything with a local nightclub. He had a country night and a rock night, whatever, and he actually did a Christian music night for a couple of months. It was Friday nights at this place, and we got paid, you know, pretty good money for us, you know, a couple hundred dollars to go out and spin tunes. Nobody really came, but they started having hot oil wrestling at the same venue the very day after we were there.
You go.
And so here we are now. how we've been doing this for a couple weeks going, hey, come on down Saturday night, Christian music, blah, blah, blah. And then we start setting up and we see the ads for the other stuff. Well, eventually he shut all the other operations down and he literally relaunched the place as Captain Creams. So we were just kind of going, okay, this is kind of strange. But I know the point because we had to wrestle with that too. Okay, what do we do? Because on the one hand, this is a secular business that has asked us to come in and play Christian music. But on the other hand, he was making the bulk of his money with strippers, you know, and lap dances and stuff. And so, I mean, fortunately, it was only a couple week experiment, but I always remember that when I think about, you know, you guys have raised some excellent points. We can't be so far removed that we're not going to touch people. Years ago, Wayne Watson had a song called Untouched by Human Hands. It was about HIV and the AIDS crisis, but he said, you know, basically the chorus of the song was, I disobey my Lord's command when I walk through this journey untouched by human hands. We're going to run into people and we're going to have these decisions. Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, what's the motive? How is God going to be glorified in how we handle what we do? And I think that you can be God-honoring and say, I'm going to choose not to do business with people. You can also be God-honoring and say, hey, I want to put myself in a situation where I'm literally on the front lines here. And so it really is, it's case by case, but I think it's spirit-led. And our goal, first and foremost, is to be obedient and to be faithful in those calls.
Amen. Yeah, and real quick, Roger, I just want to add, there's a lot of folks I know out there listening that may even do ministries in those particular worlds. I know there's a lot of women that'll even do ministry to, you know, strip clubs and things like that. And folks, I'm never going to take anything away from somebody that would want to do it in that fashion. I'm just telling you, you know, my story, how I looked at it, the conviction that I personally had, and I wasn't in an area where, I mean, I did everything in the middle of the night where nobody even knew I was there. So there was no ministry opportunities whatsoever. It was simply taking care of the parking lot of a business that, frankly, I just didn't believe in.
Sure. Yeah, one night in college, I was part of a Bible study, and we had gone to reach out to these guys that were new believers, and we had, I don't know, 3-4 weeks of study with them, and then 1 week we went to their dorm room, and they were gone. They weren't there, and so we said to some of their neighbors, hey, do you know where they went? They said, yeah, they went over to a place called Frankenstein's, and it was sort of a sit and have a drink and watch a movie kind of place. It was a dinner movie place. Anyway, so we went over to Frankenstein. Sometimes showed, you know, Star Wars, and other times it showed other movies, but on this particular night, we thought, you know what, let's just go hang with them. Let's get into their element. Let's minister to them where they're at. And so we decided to go over. As we're standing at the door and we're getting ready to pay the cover charge to get in, and I wasn't somebody who regularly went to bars. I was feeling a little uncomfortable, but I felt compelled. Let's go be with them in their element. I heard this weird music, this kind of driving music. And so I stepped back and I looked at the marquee, and it said the name of the movie was Emmanuel, the female name with an E at the end, XXX. And we're about to go into a porno movie to try to have a Bible study. And in that moment, the Lord said, no, I appreciate your heart, guys, but this one, you're going to have to sit this one out and just maybe go pray for them. So we did. But I mean, the point is, we heard from God in that moment and realized that maybe our best intentions weren't God's intentions. And so we chose a different tack at that point.
You went out for a hot dog afterwards? That makes sense.
Right. Yes, and we put mustard on it.
Good. I'm just wondering how many people maybe checked in a few minutes ago just at the right time to hear Roger. You know, when John was telling his strip club story, it reminded me of my hot oil wrestling story. And he was like, oh, man, I got a great porn movie.
That's hilarious. Yes.
And people were like, oh, forget this. I'm not listening to these guys anymore.
That's hilarious.
All right. Folks, you know, we didn't even get time to talk about Trump versus Biden and the issue of abortion. And obviously, as we get closer to the election, we will be addressing a lot more things Trump versus Biden related, certainly. But we want to ask all of you listening to go ahead and listen to the National Crawford Roundtable podcast. You can do it at crawford.live, and there's archives there you can listen to. You can also subscribe to Apple Podcasts, and we would love it if you'd give us a nice big 5-star review there. Or you can listen on Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. And John Rush of Rush to Reason out of Denver, Roger Marsh of The Bottom Line from the People's Republic of California, Neil Boron Live out of Buffalo, New York, myself, Bob Duco out of Detroit. Gentlemen, always great talking with you and catching up. Looking forward to next week.
Likewise.
You too. God bless.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
So thanks for listening, everybody. God bless.
This has been the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Download and subscribe to the National Crawford Roundtable Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and more. Apple users can rate the podcast, and we'd appreciate your 5-star rating. National Crawford Roundtable Podcast returns with a new discussion each week. Be sure to watch for the notification on your podcast app. This has been a Crawford Broadcasting Company production.